Hello?
The hell is that?
Can you hear me?
Is that you?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, I got this like a whole soundtrack going on in my head. Hold on, some tab's gone crazy. Hold on.
All right. Okay, we should put that bit at the end, and I'll preface it with, you can literally hear when Leander's LSD kicks in.
Yeah. I couldn't hear what you were saying. It was like the thing was screaming in my ear. It was like a trailer for a movie.
Was it really?
Yeah.
All right, let's start the show.
I was done.
Just conclude this in the show. We've already done half of it.
Hello and welcome to the Callcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. That's right. My name is Aaron Elijah, and I'm back with my friends and knowledgeable Apple enthusiasts, Leander Caney. Leander.
What? I was so bored by your intro, I actually tuned out.
I was trying to come up with something clever, and my brain was like, nope, just use his name. We've also got Buster Heine as well joining us. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
That was like a 25-second pause. I apologize.
That one with Leander was pretty long. I thought you were waiting for it.
You're like, did we get disconnected?
Yeah.
Guys, the big deal this week, of course, Tim Cook is at D11, all things D, and he's talking all about Apple, talked about all sorts of different topics.
Hanging out with Uncle Walt.
He's hanging out with Walt, and yeah, I always love these talks at all things D. I really loved the ones where they had Steve Jobs on as well.
Yeah, like the Steve Jobs and Bill Gates one, that was a good one.
That one was great. Yeah, a classic, a geek classic, if you will. I think one of the things that I picked up on the quickest, and the thing that will probably stick with me long after the memory of what they actually talked about has gone away, was that Tim Cook doesn't say T, the word, like the letter T, when he says important. He says important. Important.
Oh, it says it like a soft
he
D.
He says important. And he kept saying it, and I don't know if I'm the only one that noticed, but
do it in your best Tim Cook voice. I want to hear it. I didn't notice it.
Listen, Walt. This is important. Y'all. That's verbatim. That's verbatim what happened at all.
I think he says it a little bit faster than that.
No, he talks very slow and very methodical.
I feel, yeah, that's why I like, I used to think that he's just like really stiff and brushed up from like PR, but I think that's probably just the way he talks, really.
I wonder if he does that intentionally, because
he does to put like emphasis, because Steve Jobs, I think, was way better at it, and I think Tim Cook tries to do it a little bit.
I think he does a pretty good job. I think he's very articulate, and it's one of the reasons why I have a little crush on him.
You know, and I don't know. Sometimes during like the Senate hearing, he would put like emphasis like on how much Apple is an American company and, you know, all this stuff. And I kind of felt like he was overselling it a little
sometimes
bit.
He does, especially when he or anyone gets like the whole, like, this is really great, you know, to emphasize something. And you can't tell if they're just doing that to.
With Steve Jobs, it felt like you knew that he actually believed it, you know.
Yeah, well, I think Steve Jobs definitely believed all that stuff that he said.
I know.
So Tim Cook was there talking about all things Apple, and one of the things that I also noticed was that it must be really difficult because, you know, Walt Mossberg, obviously, very good journalist, and he's very good at asking questions. And him and Kara are asking all these really kind of prodding questions, and Tim Cook is really good at towing the Apple line.
Yeah,
he didn't
is.
Give up any secrets.
No, he's probably been trained by PR before he goes into the interview exactly like how much he can give, because you have to be interesting. You can't just say nothing, but you can't give away any secrets at all, you know?
Right,
so it's a fine line you got to toe.
They keep hammering on him, though, right?
They were very effective at least being persistent.
Yeah, and it's kind of, it is hard not to let anything drop.
It is. I mean, because there's things that Apple doesn't want you to reveal, and I think on the fly like that, it would be really easy to make a gesture, maybe imply something that you didn't mean to. I mean, there's all the body language of the whole event as well.
Well, I felt like he very strongly implied that Apple is working on like the iWatch at one point, you know, when they were talking about wearables.
Well, let's talk about that, and then let's also talk about Apple TV, because I kind of felt the same way. Like, he was trying to be coy, and I think his body language, especially with the Apple television, the way he said it. So Walt Mossberg asked him about the Apple television and if we're going to see one, and kind of the overall theme of the whole talk, which, by the way, if you haven't seen it and you're an Apple fan, you're listening to this show, you're probably an Apple fan. It's really good. You should go to the All Things D website, seek it out, and watch it. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. It's very, very good.
Well, we've got the video embedded on
Fantastic, Cultimac. Hey, Leander, just tell us what the URL is. Just read it to us. I know you haven't memorized. Cultimac.com.
Cultimac.com, and then do a search at the top for Tim Cook.
Okay. I guess that's easier.
I should just scroll down. It's still there on the front door.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it should be on the front page. Actually, by the time you read this, it might probably not hear this. It probably won't be. But go seek it out. So the theme was, what's next for Apple, right? It was kind of, what have you done for us lately? And they even said that at one point, kind of implying that Apple is kind of in a state of turmoil. What were you going to say, Lester?
Well, there was one point where Walt Mossberg.
I wish his name was Malt Wasberg.
Malt Wasberg.
If I ever meet him, I'm going to say that.
I totally forgot what I was going to say.
You thought that.
I'm sure it was a gem.
It was a gem.
Well, it was about how they had nothing in the pipeline. They haven't revolutionized.
Oh, well, he was talking about, he was like, oh, the iPad mini wasn't, you know, a big thing. You know, you haven't done anything since the iPad was what he essentially said.
Yeah.
Tim Cook is just like, oh, well, we have tons of stuff coming out. Just wait, you know.
Yeah, right.
But it's like, oh, it's June and nothing's been announced in over 200 days. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, 217 days,
without Steve Jobs, that they've got nothing up their sleeve.
Right. Like, about the iWatch, one key thing that I thought that he said was he was talking about he said, like, the watch is, like, there's a lot of potential there, but if you asked every 20-year-old in the room to stand up if they're wearing a watch, nobody would. So right. I wonder what Apple is really going to do with wearable tech.
Well, that's a really interesting point, and that was one of the things that I thought was really curious as well. So Walt asked him about the iWatch, and he's like, are you guys developing an iWatch? Which, of course, Tim didn't answer.
Right.
But he said it was an area of interest, but he did say, you know, during the discussion that, you know, among their age group, you know, 60-plus-year-olds, so right. Lander. He's obviously in that group. I mean, 60 plus, Leander's 74, so he's still in that demographic. that they wear watches, and all three of them on stage were wearing watches. But he's like, if you were in a group in a room full of 10 to 20-year-olds, hardly any of them would wear one. And then he's like, this is their watch, and he held up his iPhone.
Right.
So that to me, I mean, he could be trying to throw us off his trail, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there were certainly times where Steve Jobs said something wasn't happening where it actually was happening behind the scenes. But it makes a case that I wonder if Apple actually is seriously considering releasing an iWatch.
I don't know, because I think you got to have it be so intuitive that you never have to worry about it. Like, it's on you just to collect, like, data. He talked about the fuel band being a good example of something that was a good, like, wearable tech device. So I think Apple might be looking for something like that.
I think that's a good. Well, sorry, Leander, go ahead.
Well, I think the biggest problem is charging and recharging the thing.
Right. Yeah. Somebody said they were having problems with the battery. Like, they wanted 5 days worth, and right now their current like concepts are only working for max 3 days.
Yeah, that's no good. I mean, you can't take this thing off. It's gonna live on your wrist. It's gonna be you don't want to be taking the thing on and off.
Do you think that's the biggest problem, though?
Well, yeah, because I have a jewel.
Yeah, I would. You would never want to take a watch off, you know.
Well, yeah, I would never want to put a watch on.
Well,
I think that's the biggest problem.
Once you get it on your wrist, you know, just you stop noticing that it's there. I used to wear watches when I was a kid, and yeah, you would just keep it on forever. And then once you take it off, you would kind of get out of the habit of putting it back on all the time.
Right. I got a solar watch, a Casio Pathfinder, and you know, I haven't taken it off in years, and it just charges up on. I don't have to change the battery; it charges by solar power. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, this thing's like, you know, really, limit. It's a low
It tells the time, and that's it.
Yeah, it tells it. Well, actually, it does. It does a whole bunch of
things.
Is
it one of those calculator watches?
No, it's an ABC watch. It's an altimeter barometer and compass. So it's like one of those outdoor watches, and it does the moon phases and the tides, and it automatically sets the time itself.
Tide enthusiast, are you?
Well, it's for people who have a boat like I do.
Oh, that's right. You do have a boat.
Although it hasn't, it's never worked. But
one day floats great.
And I want to know when the high tide is. So that's why I keep it. It's just actually, you know why I like it? Because when you lift it up, it has a sensor that turns the light on at night. Mm-hmm. So when I wake up in the middle of the night, tossing and turning, worrying about my book that I haven't written, I just lift my watch up and the light and the face lights up and I can see what time it is.
That's handy.
That's the one feature I love about that thing. But Cookie said that he said it was the phrase? He said there was incredible potential with sensors.
Well, he said they were incredibly interested in wearable technology.
Profoundly interesting category or something.
Which I'm glad you went there because I wanted to go there as well. So I was like, I think maybe the term iWatch is a misnomer.
Right.
Because it's probably not going to be a watch. It's going to be some type of wearable technology that does something totally different.
Right. Maybe they'll call it like iBand or something.
The iBand,
yeah. But it probably won't be called a watch. I agree.
Yeah. Because a watch makes it sound too limited, doesn't it? Whereas exactly. This is going to be a wristwatch computer that does.
Well, kind of like going back to like what Johnny Ive said at that, what was it, that Peter Rabbit thing, that British show where he was talking about design.
Peter Rabbit, yeah, the Peter what Blue Rabbit, yeah,
what, the Blue Rabbit is
the
that
Blue
what
Rabbit
called?
Show?
Blue Peter.
Well, anyway, on that show, he said like they would never call something like a lunchbox, so they would never call it an iWatch because that kind of limits your ideas of what you're going to use it for.
Yeah. That's right. Well, but Cookie also said that the best.
It really is the perfect nickname for him. I don't know why we didn't think of it sooner.
He said the best wearables are single function.
Uh-huh. Right?
Well, a jawbone, which just is like a
pedometer. Well, no, I thought what he said was that like right now all of them have single functions, but they need to have multiple functions to like get mass appeal.
Okay, well that's exactly what like an iBand would do, wouldn't it? It would be like if it were like the iPhone. It, you know, depending on what app it was running, it would be one, whatever function was at the forefront was running, which I thought that was a clue about, it's what it would do.
There's so many amazing opportunities for technology to integrate with the iPhone. I just reviewed this scale from Withings.
Yeah.
And it's an internet enabled scale. So you step on it, it takes your weight, it measures your body mass index, it takes the air quality.
When I step on it, it says get off.
When you step on it, it says error, error, and then it never powers back up again. And you're like, how did all these wires come out of the sides? I don't remember it being like this.
Yeah, I know. It pops its battery. We've got one. They're actually brilliant, those things.
They're fantastic. So you step on it, it sends all your information to the cloud. And then when you open up the app on your iPhone, it displays all that information there or your iPad. And it's really cool. And it makes me excited for wearable technology that can integrate some more biometric stuff into your daily life. You know, it keeps track of your heart rate, how many steps, maybe it has a pedometer. And all that kind of stuff just shows up on this dashboard on your iPhone or iPad. And the way Tim talked about it, this is one of those instances where his words were kind of, or his body language might have been betraying what he was saying. Because I think like how giddy he would get about certain topics kind of revealed like this was obviously something that they were working on. At least that's how I interpreted it. What?
I just realized something. You know, one of the other things, the most interesting thing he said, or the most intriguing thing he said, was that Apple has bought like six companies, buys about six companies a year.
Yeah, right? and you don't hear about a lot of them.
No, he said most of them weren't announced. And he said that they bought a bunch of companies recently gearing up for a new product release. And I'm like tomorrow I'm on my to-do list is like to do some, see if I can try to figure out, you know, if what those companies might have been. And I'll bet they were sensor companies. Mm. I'll bet they were sensor startups. I used to go bike riding with this guy who's actually making a sensor that goes into pills, into medication. It's a I can't remember what the technology was. I think it was RFID, but you swallow a chip when you take a pill. And I was like, what do you want to do that for? And they said, well, one, it allows the doctors to know when you took your medication. It's the best way to track when something was actually swallowed. And it could also detect, I think, it could somehow do the uptake, like how much of the drug was absorbed. And there was one other really compelling
what time use. You took your daily defecation.
Yeah, when it hit the pan. Yeah.
That's critical information that your doctor needs to know.
Right.
That's the information you want on a website somewhere.
There was something really pretty compelling about it. But it was totally, was a fantastic journey. You know, there's chips inside your body to monitor its, your bowel movements and the like. There was one other thing that I didn't think of that was like, shoot, now I really can't remember it. Damn, we were on a 100-mile bike ride, so I couldn't. And I think he told me not to talk about it, but anyway,
it's confidential. Yeah, maybe you definitely want to talk about it now. Then now's the perfect time.
Oops.
Let's talk about Apple Television. Tim didn't reveal any new information, but I felt that he kind of confirmed that they are definitely working on something and we can expect something. And Walt really pushed on this topic. He was like, is this something that you're so excited about that we're going to see a solution in 2013? And Cookie just kind of giggled. He's like, stop it. And they tickled him in the ribs.
You guys.
Stuck his finger in his ribs and tickled him. They had a moment, a personal moment, which was heartfelt. I digress. but he said it was an area of intense interest, obviously, but that there was a grand vision for it, a grand vision, which
maybe
basically
they are coming out with a social network, man.
Please, I hope not. They're gonna call it the Apple Tree. It's gonna be where you and all your Apple friends can hang out.
Well, you know what? Tim talked about like how services have to be really integrated tighter with the company, and I feel like Apple's kind of really realized how far ahead Google is on that. So I'm hoping, like with iOS, he was hinting that they're going to have better services with the iPhone.
I think so. I mean, besides the flatness of it and the new redesign, I think that that's definitely going to be a big part of it. He talked about how Eddie Q was heading up services now. And they have one of their best guys on this. And they have, Tim Cook said during the talk, that they have one of the biggest solar farms to power their database or their data centers.
Yeah.
One of the biggest solar farms, they have the biggest solar farm in the U.S., not counting utilities, in North Carolina. So they have the absolute biggest as far as, private businesses are concerned. And in iCloud, I can't imagine that that's the extent of what they have planned. Obviously, if they have this ginormous set of servers working 24/7, it's not just so that you could sync your iMessages across devices. Like, there's something big coming.
Well, I mean, they also have iTunes, man, and they have iTunes in the cloud as well, and they have iPhoto, PhotoStream. They have a ton of cloud services already.
Yeah, that's true, but I feel like there's obviously got to be a lot more coming down the pipes, and it's not just, how do I manage my photos? How do I manage my messages in the cloud?
Well, I was in the Apple Store today and had to buy a case, and looking around, I looked at all the speaker dogs, and there aren't any. They're all wireless speaker dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, the same is going to be like Flickr, right? Flickr updated its service this week. You get a terabyte worth of storage.
Yeah.
And you can upload every photo
last
you
week,
ever.
Actually, yeah.
Well, last week, yeah. So you can, it's all gone to the cloud. I mean, it doesn't make it. People aren't going to dock. People don't dock their mobiles anymore.
Thank God.
And local storage. I don't know. It's all about fast data transfer and holding and storing everything in the cloud these days.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. It was really interesting. It's kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't. A lot of the questions that were being asked were about other companies and things that they're doing, and if Apple had an answer, they asked him about a larger screened iPhone, which he's been asked before. And then they asked him, funny enough, about Google Glass and if Apple has any plans to do anything that's like that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really interesting as they're asking Apple all these questions about all these things that if they're going to be doing these things or not, that these other companies are doing. I'm kind of like, this is not Apple, right? Why would you even ask them these questions? Because Apple doesn't do things like every other company. Like when you ask them what they're doing with their money, that was what led to the question about how they're buying businesses. And Apple doesn't go around, you know, jumping into every single business that they can afford to jump into like some other big corporations do, which is one of the things that I love about Apple, is that they're extraordinarily focused on doing one thing or a few things very well. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think that they need to go into the Google Glass market. Do you guys even think that's going to be a device?
Well, I don't think they're going to
be popular.
Well, Tim Cook said, you know, they're not making glasses, but that's the iWatch or the iBand or whatever will be their same answer as the Google Glass. He's saying, you know, Google Glass probably won't have mass appeal, but wearable tech will. So it's like the right form factor is what Apple's really looking for.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting, though, how the press always kind of berates Apple. Apple's getting bullied right now, especially in the press, I feel like. And people say things like, you know, they're outdated. They're not as open as Android. And, you know, they're not innovative. They're not creating things like Google Glass. And it's like if they were to do those things, they would probably kind of get randomized, just like all these other companies, you know, would do. And they would get randomized. Like they end up doing all these projects that are just kind of like done half well and not done really well. So I feel like we would not, maybe not us, because we write for Cult2Mac, but a lot of press would kind of berate them whether or not they went after these markets or not. Uh-huh. And I guess my point is that I'm getting to a point.
I'm waiting. Hold on.
I'm really building it up. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot it. I guess my point is that I feel like Apple's just getting beat up, and there's just not really any point to it other than the fact that they're huge. Yeah. And for some reason, everyone likes to pick on them right now, even though they've come out with all these great devices in the last 5 years. And all of a sudden, everyone thinks that they're just not doing anything. Like, they're just sitting around doing nothing, and they can't innovate anymore.
It's totally stupid. I mean, the exact opposite is happening. You know, like, obviously, behind the scenes, they have got some crazy stuff in the pipeline. For sure. They've got a TV, and they got some wearables, and they got different size iPads and different size iPhones. But they, you know, he's like he was in this interview today, right? Kara and Malt were asking a bunch of
Are you speaking about Malt Wasberg?
Yeah, and he's able to outweigh them. He just outweighed them. You know, like, he wasn't giving up anything. And the same is true of their product strategy. They never ever look at, you know, I think maybe the iPad Mini, although they must have had that in the pipeline 3 years ago, for sure. It takes them 3 years to get a product to market. And, you know, it looked as though they were copying, you know, the Android 7-inch tablets, because that suddenly became a popular product category. But I'm willing to bet, you know, that was in the pipeline, you know, before even the first 7-inch Android tabs were even released. Uh-huh. And, you know, everything they do is they look at markets, and I think they look for big market opportunities. They want mass market. They want something that everybody uses. And, you know, the cell phone was a really good example of that. Everyone had a cell phone. Everyone hated the cell phone. And they rethought the cell phone, you know, from the ground up, and came up with something completely new that completely redefined that category. And, you know, this is when he's talking about watches. I mean, that's a good point. You know, like, a whole generation of people don't wear watches. And so maybe it isn't a watch, you know. Maybe it'll be something that goes around your neck or...
I hope so. I hope it'll look like one of those.
Some other appendage. your ankle or something. Yeah. You know? But I don't know. You know, I don't think it's going to be a pair of glasses.
I don't think it will either, especially because Tim Cook, I mean, he was pretty clear. He was like, you know, I wear glasses because I have to, but I wouldn't wear these if I didn't need to have my vision corrected.
Maybe they'll have two they'll have two models. One will be on a chain, like a pocket watch, you know, like an old Victorian pocket
like
watch.
Like the eye monocle?
Yeah. For hip- but this would be, right? Well, for hipsters, you know how they all have their wallets on chain?
That's the stupidest idea.
No, actually, it's actually genius. We're only mere years away from...
It's the same thing as your iPhone, man.
You need a wearable tech monocle.
Right.
You're saying a tech monocle that you put on your eye?
Yes.
Oh, man, just blew my mind now. That is possible, and I love it.
That would sell at least 1,000 units.
I think it would. I would buy one.
Every guy with a curly mustache would own the Apple monocle.
Uh-huh.
And you would never need to like pull your phone out of your pocket ever, because you could just be like, Siri, show me my text messages on my Apple monocle.
That's exactly how it's going to go.
And then your Apple Maps would load.
You put it back into your, pocket.
Exactly. Or you can just leave it on your eye all day. Although it'd be hard to blink, I guess.
I don't know. You'd have to work up some good stamina on your eye muscles.
Hey, let me talk about this, or let me ask you guys about this. Walt also asked about how Apple was particularly getting behind in some technologies as far as like their keyboards and stuff. And then he pointed to Android and BlackBerry 10. This is exactly my point that I was trying to make earlier too. It's like you're going to compare the iPhones to the BlackBerry 10, devices now. Okay. And say that you should be doing what they're doing. But he said that their keyboards are kind of out of date. And one of the reasons is because Apple has such a closed ecosystem, and they're notoriously well known for, being closed. And he gave another example. It's a good point. And he also talked about Facebook and their Android phone and how...
That thing's a disaster.
It's a disaster.
I don't think Apple will ever do it. It's such a crappy experience.
Well, yeah. I think his point was that they were open to the fact that they could at least do it, and that Facebook had approached Apple, and Apple was like, no way are you doing that on our iPhone.
Yeah.
Does Apple need to open up? I mean, do they need to be a little less... stringent about iOS and how it looks, and maybe let people have a little more control over it?
I don't really think so. I don't know. I personally don't think so, because then you're just going to have phones with a lot more issues. It causes more headaches for users.
Right.
The conformity of the experience is what's so good about iOS.
Exactly.
You can pick up anybody's phone and know where something is or how to use it. Whereas an Android phone, everyone's different. So
I
give that up.
I had an old Google Nexus, that was the top-end phone, two years ago. I gave it to my son, and at first he was delighted. Oh, my God. He was, playing with it the whole time, configured the whole thing, downloaded every app it could do. But then within a couple of months, he hated the thing. He hates it.
Yeah.
He can't stand it. It's too complicated. It's too hard to do things. It's, it's 8 button presses to do anything. He has an iPod Touch, and he reluctantly takes his phone with him because he needs it, but... He hates it. He hates his Android phone. Hates it. And Cookie said that today, didn't he, in the interview? Look at the statistics. People use their iPhones.
Yeah, people don't use an Android phone.
Android took off because it was offered for free with a plan, and the carriers pushed it. But people don't like them. They don't like them.
That is a sentiment I hear repeated over and over and over and over again. To me, it reminds me of when I bought this Motorola phone years ago. It was actually my last regular feature phone before I bought the iPhone. And it looks really good, right? Because they're really good at making the home screen look nice, and it looks like it has some cool apps. And then you start using it. And then once you start using it for a couple months, it just feels like this really broken experience. Not to say that Android's like that. I know there are a lot of different Android devices out there. But I think it is a good point. Is I hear a lot of people buy Android phones and they end up just being not happy with them. Mm. And I'm sure there are some really excellent Android phones out there that people use them for years and they're happy the entire time.
Right.
But I think a lot of them are just crap and they just get loaded with Androids and they could sell them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think that the power, there's a bunch of power users. There's a bunch of people who like
tinkerers.
Tinkerers, they're, right.
Yeah.
A lot of people like at Google, really smart nerds, want to control every aspect of their phone themselves. And that's
why they hate Apple, because Apple makes, edited their phone. They've made decisions. They said, you cannot have full control over how it looks. You know, we've decided, we've looked at all the different options and the button sizes and the button colors and the button placements, and this is how it's going to be. And I'm happy to, you know, this is sort of Steve Jobs is, this is the kind of thing that drives people crazy about Steve Jobs, isn't it? It's like, he knew best for you. Mm-hmm. He'd already figured it out, and this is the best way, and this is the way it's going to be. But I'm glad to cede that, you know, that control to the company, because I don't want to mess with it.
Right, exactly. That's you're so busy in your life. Why do you? You know,
yeah.
There's some really cool apps like on iOS, like Launchpad, like Charlie and John were showing me, and you can do like some really cool stuff with it. But I'm like, but it takes so much time and effort to set that up, and then I would really just use an Android phone, you know, because you don't want to have to deal with all of that junk.
Yeah, I don't think most people do. I used to be a tinkerer as well. And as I mentioned in previous shows, I built my own PC, several PCs, and PCs for family members. And I used to love like overclocking my CPUs and stuff and, you know, like looking at RAM. And I remember I used to have a subscription to this computer magazine. And I remember getting the very first issue.
RAM porn.
Well, it's funny that you should mention that, because one of the very first issues I got, I was a newbie. I had never gotten a subscription to like a computer magazine. I get it, and I opened it up, and it must have been like the Christmas issue. And it had a centerfold. And as I opened it, it was a woman in a bikini holding a motherboard. And I was like, all right, you know, like at first I was like, this is pretty nerdy. Admittedly, this is pretty nerdy, but look at the motherboard. I mean, that girl's cute. Look at the capacitors on that motherboard.
What was the name of the magazine?
It was Maximum PC. I think they're still going too.
Yeah, I think they are. Yeah.
So anyway, my point being is I got to this point where, you know, I am kind of done tinkering with a lot of that stuff. I just need my computer to work. And I like how opinionated Apple software is, because I do think they do a very good job, especially with the UI and the user experience. And tinkering takes a lot of time that I just don't have anymore. I just want my computer to work well. And, you know, is it going to be perfect for everyone? No. I think those are the people that go to Android, or maybe the people that use, you know, like Linux. Like, they're like, I want to tinker. I want to experiment with things. I want to have features that you don't get with Apple.
Or jailbreakers. You know, that's what the jailbreaking community does.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to move on to faves and raves, guys.
All right.
But before we do that, Leander, I'm hearing some little scratchy sounds. I think it might be your microphone.
That was me farting.
Yeah, really? Oh, it's very delicate sounding. So just make sure that your microphone isn't rubbing around.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. And with that, it's time to go into faves and raves and faves and raves and...
Faves. I was sure I said raves.
It was very genteel. No, that was right.
It was alto. It was falsetto.
It was. I've been
listening to a lot of opera.
You have a lovely falsetto. We need to get you to do your own faves and raves version. This is, of course, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one's best. And I got to say, gentle dudes, yeah. I really love my pick this week.
Wait, are you doing an app or hardware?
I'm doing an app. I found an app. So last time we did Faves and Raves, I pitched an app as well, and it was a game, and I said it was the best iOS game I'd ever played, and I would put this in that same category. It is absolutely addictive,
okay,
and super-duper fun.
What is it?
If you're a sci-fi fan, I think you're going to like it. So as long as I'm telling you about it already, why don't I just keep going? It's called Star Trek Rivals.
Oh.
And let me explain it to you. So it's a Star Trek themed game, obviously. Has like lots of the sound effects and stuff. I just saw the new Star Trek movie twice.
Is any good?
Actually, it was very good. Yeah, I liked it better the second time, too.
Are you a Cumberbitch?
what?
A Cumberbitch. A fan of what's his face? Cumberbatch. It's Cumberbatch.
Oh, really? Gosh. I had never actually seen him act in anything before.
Me either. He was good.
He was in Sherlock, right? There's a series that he plays in.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, that's why people love him, man.
Okay, we shouldn't give away any spoilers, though. I almost talked about his role, but let's just leave it at that.
Come on, it's been out for 2 weeks.
No, I know. But remember we talked about Batman like ages ago, and it was like a year after it came out.
Spoilers.
Like, you spoiled it.
Well, say spoiler alert.
No, we don't even need to talk about it. We don't even need
All right. Anyway, continue with your Star Trek game.
Although I did get some tweets that people were asking us to talk about the new Arrested Development series on Netflix.
I haven't seen any of it.
You haven't?
I have no desire to either.
Okay, well, then I guess we can't talk
about
it.
I haven't seen it either, but we can still talk about it.
That's Leander's speciality.
I mean, everybody said it's not that good, so I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just echo that. That's kind of how I felt, too. But yeah. Back to the game. So, Star Trek Rivals. It's a card game, a digital card game.
You know what we should see?
What?
That Liberace movie.
Oh yeah, we should watch
that's
that.
It's supposed to be great. And I love Michael. What's
you love Liberace?
Oh, the other guy,
Michael Douglas.
Douglas, yeah. Damon. Yeah.
I bet you it's going to be great.
Weren't they in the Streets of San Francisco? Oh no, he was in it, wasn't he?
I pretty much like any movie that has lots of sequins.
Yeah. This is supposed to be great. I just read a really good review of it. They were going crazy about it, saying it's really good.
Cool. Let's talk about
your rival app.
Yeah, why don't you describe it as your fave and rave pick, Leander? So Star Trek Rivals, as I was mentioning the previous two times, digital card game. So you start off with a set of cards randomly, and then you play against other people. And the way the game works is you lay down a card, and every card has four sides to it and gets assigned four numbers. So there's a number on each side. And the point of the game is to outnumber the cards next to your cards. And if you do that, then they become your color. And if you fill the board with your color cards, then you win the game. So it's kind of like Othello in a way. I don't know if you guys ever played that game.
Othello?
Othello?
Like the play?
No. Like, yes. Have you ever been in a play? It's kind of like that. And so you're trying to win all the cards around you. It's super addictive because the more you play, the more experience you get. And then you earn what their currency called Latinum, which is as cool as it sounds. And then you can buy more powerful cards. So the more you play, the more powerful cards you get. And it's really fun at like the end of a game when someone's playing you and you whip out this card that's super powerful and you basically take over the entire board to win it. Really exciting. That's my pick. It's free. There is a lot of in-app purchase stuff that you can get.
Yeah, like cards, right?
You can buy Latinum. You can earn Latinum, but you earn it really slowly. In fact, I just sent the devs an email about this. I was like, hey, guys, this is like the nerdiest email I've ever sent in my life. I was like, hey, guys, really like your Star Trek game, but the Latinum's too hard to earn. Can you guys start giving it more so that when I level up, I get more of it? And they actually replied and thanked me for my suggestion.
Thanks, but no.
Thanks, but no. We want your money.
I am cheapskate.
So anyway, Star Trek Rivals. Check it out. It's free. It's on iPad and iPhone. Who's next?
Leander.
Oh, I got a killer.
Oh,
If you say the word Sonos, I'm hanging up.
No,
we don't have time.
Thanks for reminding me. I've got a great one for next week. But this is I've been looking for. I'm a recent convert to the iPhone case wallet.
Is that like a thing or is that like an app?
Well,
it's like
is that what it's called?
No, it's a category of cases, right? That double as wallets, you know, so you can put cards in the back of it.
All right, following you.
So I had one. It was it fell to pieces real quick, but it made me a convert because, sticking a couple of cards in the back, my key card to get into work and my driver's license, I could dump my wallet. I had this big fat, George Costanza wallet that put a huge indentation in my backside when I sat down.
Now, is your wallet fat like George Costanza or was it fat like his wallet?
It was a fat wallet and it was fat with cards and all this other rubbish, right, that I carried around.
Okay.
And so, I slimmed down and I put a couple of cards in the back of this case wallet, and it's great. It's awesome, right? Now I've just got one thing to carry around, my phone and a couple of cards. Anyway, but the thing is, the old wallet fell to pieces, so I went looking for a new one today, and I was going to buy this one from Senna Cases. Mm-hmm. They're a company down in Southern California. They make beautiful leather cases, really good. They're the best leather cases, in fact, you can buy. And they had one where you could put a couple of cards in the back. Unfortunately, I needed three cards. And this thing is so beautifully made and so tight that it'll only fit two.
Who carries around two cards?
I do.
Right.
That's
it? I carry around my license and like my credit card, debit card.
You have one debit card that you use?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. What about your library card? Where do you put that?
Library card? Who does that?
What about your certified CPR card.
Nope.
How are people
going
to know that you're CPR certified?
Dude, I've been wanting to get a case kind of like what Leander's describing.
Too. Actually, yeah. I
saw haven't even got to the case I got yet. So,
sorry.
Cut a long story short.
Yeah.
I tried out a whole bunch in the Apple Store downtown in San Francisco. That's what I was doing there. So I tried out like 3 or 4 different kinds. Anyway, I got the book from 12 South. It's great.
Yeah.
You like it?
It's fun and great. Yes.
Well, I don't like the book look, so I'm going to scratch that off. Yeah. Or stick some Hello Kitty stickers on it or something like that. So I don't like the book thing. That is ridiculous. But it's well made, and it's got like 4 card spaces and a little see-through window for your driver's license. And that's it. This is my new wallet. And I'm going to go through tonight, and I'm going to put everything else in my passbook thing, whatever it is, app, on the iPhone, which I don't use, but I'm going to start using it. So, you know, I had like some loyalty cards in there and some other – and I've already got all my credit cards anyway in one password. So I got used to using that.
Yeah, but you can't – when you go to the grocery store, you can't say, oh, here's my credit card number and read it to them.
Right, but I just take 2 cards with me, right? So I have my credit card and my debit card.
Oh, okay.
So that's all I need. I mean, I got some other cards, but I never use them. I got these reward cards and I got, you know, a couple of other credit cards, but I never use those. So why carry them around?
It'd be really cool when you can use a lot of that stuff in Passbook itself.
Right, yeah.
That's when Passbook would actually become useful.
Right. Well, that's definitely coming, isn't it? With NCR or the IBAN, which is going to have...
You mean NFC?
NFC, yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know if that's ever going to become a thing in the U.S.
Well, one of these days. Anyway, it's killer.
Anyway,
it's great.
Awesome.
It costs $60, though. That
ugh! Really, that's way more expensive than free,
yeah,
which is how much mine cost.
The BookBook's just too expensive, and it adds a lot of bulk onto your iPhone, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
Yeah,
a good product.
It's pretty thick. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Buster, what's yours?
I'm going to choose an app called Cortex Cam. It was actually recommended to me from by WithHearts.
Cortex Cam.
Yeah.
WithHearts, our good Instagramming buddy. You know, he's at like 210,000 Instagram followers now.
He's just a badass.
We're going to
get
him back on to tell his secrets.
It's just a low light performance camera.
Yeah.
So it kind of works in the same way as like a slow shutter or Average Cam Pro, but it's a little bit better than like Average Cam Pro getting like low light exposures, because it kind of keeps like the exposure for a couple of seconds and then combines everything into like one good image.
Oh,
whereas like Average Cam Pro, it's usually using like 8 pictures or 128 pictures like stacked on top of each other.
You said it was called Core Cam?
Cortex Cam.
Oh, Cortex Cam.
Yeah, Cortex.
Does it suffer from, what about jitters?
What?
You know, jitters. I mean, like, you know.
No, you would actually, like, this is like type of cam you'd want to use it like on a tripod or, you know, just standing still if you can. It's $299, but
that's,
you know,
steep.
If you like iPhonography a lot and want to try some new apps, I think like that's a cool one that just came out.
Yeah, it looks cool. I mean, it's not free, but
sorry. Some of us buy apps.
All right, let's vote.
All right, Leander, you go first.
Okay, I hate card games and I hate Star Trek, so I'm going for Buster's.
That's.
You know, how'd I know? Buster, you have good taste. You're going with mine, huh?
Well, I just hate the card games. Like, the Star Trek is kind of cool.
You know,
so
I don't even like card games either, but this thing is super fun.
I'd probably like to try Leander. Like,
you
I want to get a BookBook, so I'm going to go with Leander's.
they're not gonna send you one.
Well, actually. Or maybe.
Yeah, they'd probably send you one
but
without even
it
asking.
It looks like a really good product. You know?
Yeah. Well, let me see here. Since I have to choose between 2 products that are inferior to mine, it's really a question of which sounds better. I think the... I'm going to go with Leander's.
Yeah!
Is that the first time Leander's ever
I hope
won?
He was wearing his adult diaper on that yell. No, Leander's won before.
Has he?
I win every week. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
Actually, yeah, I think he does win a lot. It's me that never wins because you jerks never vote for mine, even though I have great choices. Like my app... So we single-handedly launched the Ellen app.
This whole thing is flawed anyway. We need an impartial judge. We need somebody who's not involved.
We do. Yeah, because you guys don't like cool stuff, so I always end up losing.
Leander's always great because
Leander only ever wants to talk about Sonos.
You really should have like readers, you know, pick.
That's
like,
right.
In real time.
That's a good idea. Well, how roll that on Facebook or something the next day?
You should put a poll on the post and everything.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Problem solved.
And then maybe they could overrule.
Huh?
And then they could like overrule, like
you just let them vote. Tell them which one. Ask them which one sounds like.
That's right. That's a great idea. That's
Maybe we will start doing that. Yeah, there you go. Now I have a freaking chance of winning again.
It's really easy to put a poll in as well. We got Poll Daddy.
Let's do it. So yeah, let's just do that. So there you go. Impromptu decision. This is how things happen on the CultCast. It has been decided. So from now on, or at least for a while, let's we'll still pitch our favorite stuff.
Well, let's do it for the one to, you know, for this one. Let's put a poll up.
All right, we can put a poll up. Good idea. And we'll see who's his coolest.
Yeah, visit.
We'll see if anyone actually listens to the show.
We have at least 200 listeners.
I think we'll get 10 responses.
I think if we get 10, we'll be doing pretty good, I think.
Yeah, three votes.
Five of them will be for me. Leander, get your kids to vote. Buster can vote once, and then we can get Alex to do it. That's at least 11.
All right.
Yeah, how many kids do you have in your house, Leander? Like 10?
Yeah, there's a few more over here.
You're not even sure anymore.
It's some holidays, so they're all loving.
Leander's always seeing new faces at the dinner table. He's not sure if there's kids or not. All right, we should probably wrap it up there, gents?
Okay.
Okay, fantastic. That's all the CultCast we have for you guys this week. You know, you can always come hang out with us on Twitter and maybe tell us your favorite apps, your favorite products. Maybe we'll pitch them on the Faves and Raves segment. Just head on over to Twitter, and I'm at Arifon, Buster's BST3R, Leander is L. Kaney. And of course, you can always join us on our Facebook page. That's just facebook.com/ The CultCast. Maybe suggest some user topics, answer questions. There's a segment we haven't done in a while. We need to do some Facebook questions.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Any hooskies, this has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. Micro Machines Man signing off, and we will see you guys next time. Dude, I'm getting so fast at that. The smoke was coming off my tongue. My new nickname, Smoke Tongue.
Life tells you, bro.
What's up, sexy mama?
Ay, caramba! I don't know why that's the first thing that came to my mind.
It's because I called you a woman.
Apparently that's what women say.
Women are Spanish, so logically...